Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
And welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, I'll tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. Happy holidays, everyone! I hope you're enjoying this special time of year. We've had a lovely family Christmas here with the grandparents. Lots of games, presents, movies, and delicious food. And the holidays aren't over yet. It isn't a holiday without our Christmas special. But before that, we have a Patreon announcement. We'd like to say a big Christmas thank you to all our lovely patrons, our Power Pixies and our Little Sprites. Our Christmas special is in two parts, with the second part coming out a whole week early on the 3rd of January. But, Little Sprites and Power Pixies, you'll be able to hear part two on New Year's Day over on our Patreon page. Yippee! We also have some shout-outs for new patrons. Thanks so much for joining our little Patreon family. Here's a shout-out to Ava, who is 7, and she's from California. Her birthday month is March. Hi, Ava. Thanks for listening. Here's a shout-out for Margot, and she is 8, and she lives in Minnesota. Her birthday month is July. Hi, Margot! Thanks for listening! And next episode, we will have some birthday shout-outs to all our patrons who are born in January, so listen out for those. Remember, joining Patreon is super easy. You get early access, bonus content, videos and shout-outs. So hop on over to our page for more story fun. Now, listeners, I have a special Christmas story for you. Have you ever loved a toy so much you wished it came to life? Have you ever dreamed what wonderful adventures you and your toy would go on? Adventures that seemed so real that maybe they were real? Well, over 200 years ago, a writer called E.T.A. Hoffman wrote a beautiful story that enchanted children and grown-ups. In fact, people at the time loved it so much that the famous composer Tchaikovsky wrote some beautiful music, and the story was turned into a famous ballet. And this holiday season, I'm going to tell you the story, with a little help from Hoffman and Tchaikovsky. So because this story is set in Germany, I think we should start. It was Christmas Eve in Frankfurt. It was Christmas Eve in Frankfurt. Maria Stahlbaum looked out of her bedroom window at the snowy streets and houses. She was 7. When the cold wind blew, the snow would swirl over the chimneys and rooftops as if it was a troupe of fairy dancers dancing a waltz. The flakes would tinkle on the glass like little diamonds and then flutter down below to lay on the white carpeted streets. Oh, when would the guests arrive, thought Maria. When would the party begin? And when, oh, when could she see the Christmas tree? There was to be a dance in their ballroom. She imagined all the ladies and gentlemen in their fine clothes swirling around the beautiful tree, covered in twinkling lights and glittering balls, with carefully wrapped gifts hiding underneath. But she and her brother Fritz, who was six, had been told to wait upstairs until all was ready. She watched from the window as the guests began to arrive in their carriages. But there was one guest she was waiting for most of all, Papa Drosselmeier. He was godfather to Maria and Fritz. A strange old man, very wise. When she was tiny, she was a bit frightened of him, with his stiff black clothes, snowy white hair, and that eye patch over one eye, and his other eye sharp as an owl's that saw everything. But she soon discovered he wasn't frightening at all. He was kind and funny. He told the most exciting stories, and of course, his presents were the best of all. For Papa Drosselmeier was an inventor, a watchmaker by trade, but oh my goodness, his skills were almost magical. Last Christmas, he had made a toy castle, a clockwork one, where the drawbridge went up and down, the knights rode up, and a princess came out to greet them. And the year before that, he'd brought them a clockwork carriage with little horses that trotted. It was like he was some sort of magician. The children's father was so impressed with Papa Drosselmeier's toys, he had had a special wooden cabinet made with a glass door so you could see inside. And there the special toys would be kept at bedtime. The cabinet was in the ballroom, with the party and the Christmas tree, and oh, how she wished she could go down now. I wonder, thought Maria, what magical presents will Papa Drosselmeier bring this year? She watched more guests arriving in big fur coats, some grown-ups, some children, and here comes Aunt Lisa and Uncle Thomas. Oh, Fritz, said Maria, everybody's arriving, Fritz. Fritz came bursting into the room. Maria, I went downstairs and I looked through the keyhole into the ballroom. The tree is the biggest and best we've ever had. Really? Said Maria. Yes, and there's so much food, the chocolate cake and gingerbread and stripy peppermints. Have the guests arrived? Yes, I saw Mr. and Mrs. Kretschmas and Aunt Lisa. Oh, and our cousins have come, Franz and Tilda and little Jörg, and they've all got presents with them. What about Papa Drosselmeier? Asked Maria. Oh, Maria, you know he never arrives at the beginning of the party. He likes to make a grand entrance. I bet he's made brilliant toys this year. Oh, can we go down now? No, we have to wait till we're called, and I'm getting...
Children!
The two children nearly tripped over each other to get out of the room, and they raced down the stairs to stand in front of the door to the ballroom. Their mother and father were waiting. Now, said Mother, let me look at you. Maria, straighten your dress. Good. Fritz, smooth your shirt. Are you ready? The doors opened and the children stepped in. Merry Christmas, my darlings, whispered their father. The great tree had been lighted and it glowed. The fragrance of its branches filled the room. Right at the top of the tree was a beautiful star, shining. Every little ornament twinkled, little fairy angels, painted wooden birds, tinkling orbs and globes, deep red flowers, striped candy canes and sweets, and underneath, the presents, beautifully wrapped in shiny paper. "Merry Christmas," whispered Maria. Her and Fritz and all the other children went running toward the tree and the presents. "Not yet," said Mother. "Remember, first food and dancing." The children sighed a little as the grown-ups in their finest clothes all began to take their partners and begin the dancing. The children headed over to the table and were soon happily eating the delicious food, little sausages and mince pies, fruity Christmas cake, so many chocolates, and jugs of apple juice and ginger beer. The grown-ups whirled and twirled around the sparkling room, waltzing away to the music played by the quintet of musicians with their violins and cello. Father Stahlbaum played the piano beautifully, and the children danced too, giggling and laughing. Maria felt warm and a bit dizzy, as if she was filled with bubbles of light. Then the huge clock chimed. It was a clock designed by Papa Drosselmeier with a carved, painted owl, its wings outstretched. Each chime was a hoot. There was a gust of wind and the ballroom doors flung open, followed by a flurry of snow. The dancing had stopped, and into the room walked their godfather, Papa Drosselmeier, dressed all in black with a shock of silver-white hair. He always wore a black eye patch over his left eye, but his other eye was so bright and piercing that it saw more than two. He carried a large velvet sack over his shoulder. "Merry Christmas, one and all." Father and mother came forward to greet him. "What an entrance, Drosselmeier, my good fellow." "As usual, Herr Drosselmeier, would you care for some punch?"
"All in good time. Now, where are my godchildren? Maria, Fritz, I have some Christmas magic for you."
Maria and Fritz rushed forward as Papa Drosselmeier put the velvet sack on the floor.
"My latest inventions, but only for children who have been good. Have you been good, children?"
Oh, yes, Papa Drosselmeier.
From the velvet sack, Papa Drosselmeier took out two wooden dolls, nearly as big as the children. One wore a pretty white dress and the other a smart blue suit, their faces beautifully painted, and each had a large metal key at the back. The old man placed them standing up, facing each other, as all the guests crowded around to watch. He turned the keys to wind up each doll, and they began to dance. Each doll was dancing to tinkling music. The crowd gasped to see such a wonderful thing as the dolls bowed and pirouetted and twirled around each other to the music.
"Oh, bravo, Drosselmeier," said Father. "What a clever fellow you are."
"Oh, how enchanting. How does he do it?"
Everyone clapped, and the two children smiled delightedly and began to dance with the dolls. Then they ran to the old man and each kissed his wizened old cheeks.
"Thank you, Papa, thank you."
As the crowd went back to their dancing, Mother said,
"Oh, you spoil them, Herr Drosselmeier."
Well, I have no children of my own, and I am their godfather. It gives me pleasure to bring them happiness through my inventions. Ah, that reminds me. Children, I have one more gift for you.
He reached into the velvet sack and took out another doll, smaller. It was a little metal soldier, with polished boots, crimson trousers with a blue stripe, a long sword at its side, a deep blue general's coat, and a fine soldier's hat with a gold plume. The soldier had a high-arched nose with a bushy moustache, a jutting chin, and round, brave-looking eyes with long eyelashes. Maria thought he looked just like a little prince.
Oh, I love him!
Why are his teeth so massive? Said Fritz. He is a nutcracker. The children had seen nutcrackers. Have you seen one? They'd even used them to crack open walnuts or Brazil nuts. They were usually very ordinary tools, wooden or metal.
How does it work?
Mother gave Papa Drosselmeier a walnut from the bowl. He carefully lifted the soldier's sword and his big teeth opened wide. Then Papa placed the nut in the mouth and lowered the sword. Crunch! The walnut's hard shell splintered in two, and Papa Drosselmeier took it out, opened it, and popped the creamy nut in his mouth.
Delicious! I bet he could crack any nut there is. Let me try.
Fritz snatched the nutcracker and began forcing hazelnuts between its jaws.
No, Fritz! Be careful, you'll break him!
Oh, don't be silly, Maria. My nutcracker can crack any nuts.
But he's not yours. Papa Drosselmeier, make him stop.
Now, children, he is to be shared.
But Fritz was putting in nut after nut, yanking the sword down, watching the metal teeth open and close. Crunch, crack, crunch, crack. The shells fell from the metal mouth one after the other. Then Fritz chose the biggest, toughest nut he could find in the bowl and rammed it into the nutcracker's mouth.
Try this!
He yanked down the sword. There was a loud crack! The nutcase cracked open and Fritz cheered. Then there was a funny clank and the mouth fell open, though Fritz hadn't lifted the sword.
Oh, no, Fritz, said Maria. You've broken him. You did it on purpose.
Fritz laughed, but he had turned red with embarrassment.
Well, I guess he's not that good a soldier after all.
And he dropped the nutcracker on the floor and went to play with something else. Maria knelt down and gently lifted the nutcracker. She tried to make him work, but the mouth hung open sadly.
He's badly wounded.
There, there, said Papa Drosselmeier. Let me look at him. Yes, yes, he is badly wounded, I am afraid. We will have to bandage his wounds and give him a rest, Maria. He will recover with love and good care.
Papa Drosselmeier took a clean handkerchief and wrapped it around the nutcracker's head and under the jaw, closing the mouth. Maria took him gently in her arms, carried him over to the special glass cabinet. She opened it and laid the broken nutcracker in one of the doll's beds. The nutcracker's eyes gently closed.
Rest here, my poor wounded soldier.
Meanwhile, the party had become very merry. People were laughing and talking. The children were opening presents. Some were playing with dolls or building towers out of blocks. Others were drawing or playing card games. Fritz had been given a whole platoon of toy soldiers. He and some other children were parading them through the party, or firing slingshots, running around, screaming and shouting as if they were fighting a war. Toy missiles started flying through the air. One landed in Aunt Lisa's glass of punch. Oh! And the children's shrieks got so loud that Father could stand it no longer. "Stop! This party is for everyone, not just you children. Now, we need another dance, I think, and then there will be hot chocolate and carol singing." When the dances had been danced and the Christmas carols sung around the tree, the children went gladly off to bed, worn out by the dancing and playing and sugary treats. The guests put on their huge coats, said their thank yous and Merry Christmas and goodbyes to Mother and Father Stahlbaum, and off they all went into the wintry night. Only Papa Drosselmeier remained. When Mother and Father came back into the ballroom, he'd put on his great grey fur coat and hat. He was over by the glass cabinet, leaning inside, tending to the little soldier. "That should do it. My dear friends, what an enchanting evening." He closed the glass cabinet and shook both their hands. "Yes, yes, a truly magical party. My thanks to you both. Now I must be off while the snow has stopped falling. A most wonderful evening full of winter magic. Good night." And off he went into the snow with a twinkle in his eye, like a strange old wizard with a great secret. All was quiet in the house, except for scratch, 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 coming from the walls. Old houses often have mice. You don't see them in the day. They stay away from humans bustling about here and there. But at night, when all is still, scratch, scratch, scratch through the darkness, through the stillness. Fritz was asleep, but Maria was awake. She heard it. Scratch, scratch, scratch in the walls. She sat up in bed and looked out of the window. The snow had stopped and the moon had risen, bathing her bedroom in a silvery light. It was cold in the house. Maria wished she'd brought the poor nutcracker upstairs to keep him warm. "Perhaps I should go and get him." She lit the candle on her bedside table. The scratching stopped. She got out of bed and put on her soft, warm velvet slippers, a present from her mother, and then she tiptoed out to the landing. In her new velvet slippers, she moved silently down the stairs. She didn't notice little pairs of beady eyes watching her from the shadows. Down she went and across the hall. What was that? A scurrying sound from the darkness behind. Her candlelight was small. It only lit up what was right in front of her. She tiptoed to the door of the ballroom and opened it quietly. How different the room was now. So still. Only the ticking of the great owl clock on the wall. She could feel the emptiness of the room behind the light of her candle. The moon gave some light through the windows, and she could see the shadow of the great tree, its candles now extinguished. The moonlight glinted on the star right at the top, and this shone a beam of light onto the glass cabinet. Maria tiptoed across the ballroom floor. She turned around, but the candle showed nothing but the empty room. A room that had been filled with light and laughter only a few hours before. Scurrying again, she spun around toward the tree. She thought she had seen a tiny furry face with shiny black eyes. A mouse. But there was nothing there now. Tick-tock, tick-tock went the great owl clock on the wall as Maria moved closer to the cabinet. She felt something at her feet and heard pattering. She looked down and saw what she thought was a tail disappearing under the sofa. Then she heard scratch, scratch, scratch. Another mouse, a big mouse, scuttled past and then another, the other way. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Scratch, 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 scratch. She hurried to the cabinet, placed the candle on top, opened it, lifted out the doll's bed with the sleeping nutcracker. There, there. You will get well. Just then, the clock struck midnight, and her candle went out. The owl hooted and beat its wooden wings. Maria looked at the clock and could see little beady eyes. Shadowy mice perched on top of it. Scratch, scratch. She looked at the tree. More wicked little eyes peered out from the branches. Scurry, scurry. She looked down. Mice, big, furry and black, scurrying about on the moonlit floor. She lifted the nutcracker from the doll's bed, dropping it on the floor, bounded up on the sofa with the nutcracker and watched, horrified, as 50, maybe 100 mice gathered in the room, but not in a bundle, not in a mass, no. They were assembling in rows. They were organizing themselves, as if following orders. Maria crouched down on the sofa, the nutcracker at her side, and looked on as the mouse army got into position. They each stood on their hind legs, sharp little knives as swords glinting in the moonlight. They were baring their sharp teeth, ready to attack. But attack what? Who? Then the clock struck one, and the strangest thing occurred. The mice started growing larger. No, wait, not just the mice, the sofa, the chairs, the doll's bed on the floor, the Christmas tree. Its branches were stretching out farther and farther, the baubles expanding like balloons. Fritz's toy soldiers, they were growing too. The whole room and everything in it was getting bigger. Except Maria. Oh no, the room wasn't getting bigger. She was getting smaller. She climbed over the edge of the sofa and slid down the leg. She didn't want to be trapped up there. But now she was in the middle of the floor, facing the mouse army. They were as big as wolves now, waving their swords, gnashing their razor-sharp teeth and flashing their beady eyes. One of the mice raised its sword and shrieked a command. And they all began to charge towards her, their horrible little feet scratch, scratch, scratching on the floor. The mice came closer and closer, their teeth and knives flashing, when suddenly Maria turned around. Fritz's toy soldiers, now as big as her, were lined up, ready to attack. Cannons were wheeled into position. A captain shouted a command, "Fire!" And a flurry of missiles were fired. They were multicoloured cannonballs, pink and green and white, and looked very much like sugary gumdrops. The cannonballs pelted the mice, who retreated slightly, but it wasn't enough to stop them. They began to advance towards the toy soldiers. Then Maria noticed a figure at the front of the soldiers, in a blue general's coat, a hat with a gold plume. The Nutcracker! He was alive! He had his sword raised and he gave the command. And I think we should leave them there. So, listeners, did you like that first part of our Christmas special, The Nutcracker? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit was all the lovely Christmassy description of the Christmas tree. Does it remind you of your Christmas tree? I also like how the story's going, how the room gets bigger and bigger until Maria realises she's getting smaller and smaller. What do you think will happen next? Who will win the midnight battle, the mice or the toy soldiers? And is the Nutcracker really alive? You'll have to listen to part two to find out. So that's it for this episode. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. I hope you enjoyed part one of our Christmas special, and we'll have part two coming in a few days' time. But until then, our story has started, but it isn't complete. I'll tell you what happens the next time we meet. Bye!
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook. Find us on Instagram at Dragonfly Tales Pod. And follow us on Twitter at Emily Dragonfly.